Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Thank you for joining us again today on Islands of Sanity. I'm here with my friend Terry Chapman, with whom I'm soon going to be leading an online series on the journey of grief in disruptive times. I want us to get to know each other online here a bit, and you can know more about me and more about Terry. And we're going to talk about just some basic things about this online series, which is going to begin on May 4th and end on June 15th. This is a series that involves 7 Monday nights online. And we're going to give you all the information you need about learning more and registering. So, Terry Chapman, welcome.
It's good to be with you, Carolyn.
Yeah, yeah. How are things in New Jersey at the moment, Terry? I know that New Jersey has had a lot of coronavirus cases, so what's it looking like there?
I'm happy to say that I had a good walk in the woods today. They closed my park where I normally walk every day, but I found a way in anyway. So it's a beautiful day today, sunny. But I noticed that there are a lot of people out driving and going to shops, and it feels like even though we're still in kind of mandatory shelter in place and most businesses are closed, I think people are getting weary of that. And it's a beautiful kind of spring day today, and I think people are beginning to come out, and I just wonder, you know, how that's going to affect, because it has had a severe impact in New Jersey. We're definitely a hot spot in this.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about why we're doing this online series. I know that you've been doing a lot of online leadership training series in the past. And I just want to let folks know that you and I have been friends and colleagues and have worked together for 4 or 5 years, maybe more, but who's counting? I really enjoy working with you, and I was very honored when you asked me to co-facilitate with you. As I see it, this is such an appropriate time to be doing an online series about grief, to just even be talking about grief with friends, because we're experiencing so much loss right now in the world. So that's kind of the basic that I see. Tell me why you created this and wanted to do this series.
Well, you know, when I got up this morning, I read an article in New York Times written, one of the quotes was from a psychologist who said, you know, Zoom happy hours are getting old at this point. Mm-hmm. And there's increasing aggression on the streets of New York and the parks. People are getting frustrated. And so I think this tsunami really of grief is washing upon the shores of our hearts. And I don't think we've even begun to touch into what's going to be needed in order to really hold the space for people to metabolize this grief that we're all dealing with. In the little video introduction that we put on our learning platform, I said that yesterday I was sitting here in my study and I heard sirens and police cars going by. I'm like, what's that? So I went out and there was a parade of vehicles followed by a school bus. And on the school bus, there was a giant banner that said, "We love you, class of 2020. And you know, when I saw that, I could feel my own sort of grief or sadness just well up. And I'm just thinking, wow, you know, the way that this is affecting us all, it just feels to me like there's this underground cauldron or bubbling up of really difficult emotions. And I think, you know, what I'm really interested in, Carolyn, is gathering people together who feel like they want to step in to this to help others who are grieving, to be able to again, touch into their own grief, because we're all grieving, and also create the skills and resources that they can be holders of space for other people who are grieving. The phrase, I think it's from the Hebrew scriptures in the book of Esther, that says, for such a time as this.
Yeah.
And it just feels so true for us. For such a time as this, we need people who are apprentices. Francis Weller likes to speak of that we need to all be apprentices of grief.
Yes.
Now's the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the kinds of grief that we're witnessing. I'll say a little bit about what I see and some of the things that are most heartbreaking for me. I think the thing that's most heartbreaking for me, really, besides the actual deaths of people, is watching the healthcare workers trying to cope with this and listening to their stories of what they go through every day, the absolute exhaustion that they're experiencing, the fear that they experience every day of getting the virus and dying themselves or taking it home to their families. And many times, inadvertently, they do take it home to their families. And fear of bringing it back from their families to whatever institution they're working in. And my heart breaks also for these young people that you just mentioned who aren't going to have a graduation ceremony and they're not going to have graduation parties. And they don't even know, in many cases, if they're going to college this fall. You know, the big deal that we all remember of first day of college and your parents drive you up to the dorm and you get settled into this brand new experience. You know, all of those rites of passage that we go through that, you know, just can't be experienced right now. And, you know, there's so much heartbreak that weighs on us, I think, more than we could possibly imagine.
I heard of a parent just today whose daughter was graduating from college, supposed to graduate this year, and she had to make an appointment to come to the dorm to clean out her dorm room, you know, one at a time to go into the dorm. And then you see the lines at the food banks across the country.
Oh,
the economic grief is just like, you know, it's almost surreal. That's kind of what I'm hearing. When I talk to people, I hear it feels so surreal. Mm-hmm. And that's because it is. It's really such a different world we're moving into. And just a tremendous amount of grief. And then there's the parents who have young children at home.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to manage that. And, you know, it's just everywhere.
Yes. Well, let's say a little bit about who this series is for. My understanding from what we're creating together is that we're really offering this for leaders and people who want to serve the world, who want to make a difference in the pain that we're all experiencing right now, and individuals who want to deepen their spiritual path or do their own personal grief work. But can you say more about that, Terry?
Yeah, the one thing I want to say is, it is for leaders. And in my view, and I think you'll agree with me, Carolyn, a leader is really anyone who is waking up from the trance of the story of separation.
Yes.
And not numbing out totally to what's unfolding. Just kind of waking up and saying, wow, you know, we're moving into something new here, and I want to do my part to help others in this space. So we're not talking about any previous capacity, really, as a leader, just kind of waking up and having a sense of, I want to make a difference. I want to be a part of this new story that's unfolding and not just kind of a passive bystander and numbing out.
Right.
So I know that both of us, Carolyn, for many years have been sort of, I think of it as sort of curating a lot of resources for spiritual growth, emotional growth, and especially around grief. And, you know, anyone can go online and Google, you know, grief, or pick up Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's book on the five stages of grief. And, you know, there's a lot of information. But to really, I think one of the gifts that we offer is that we have sifted through and lived through a lot of this work for many years. And so we're offering people resources that have, that we know in our experience have really been helpful for us. And the second thing, so that, you know, there's a lot of resources that people are going to be able to access through our work together. But much more than that, probably the heart of the matter is the experience. You know, this is not just sort of a cognitive download, but it's an experiential kind of really a dance together. So we're, you know, touching into our own experience of grief together in community, in a container that is a safe container that we're building. So people can step in with some degree of vulnerability and at the same time have a lot of resources that they can access on an ongoing basis that will be helpful in their own work.
You know, it's so important, this container that we are offering to really confront, to reject the story of separation and to say and celebrate there's a new way to live. And so many things right now that are happening in the world are compelling us to come together with each other. I know we use that expression, come together, it's so overused, but to really connect with each other and to connect with each other in the well of grief, where there is no separation whatsoever, where there isn't anybody who's smarter, richer, better. We're all in that well together. And we hear this expression also in the culture a lot right now. We're all in this together. Well, what does that mean? You know, we're going to, I think, explore together what that means, that we're all in this together, that this whole nightmare of separation and difference and competition, that's over. That's the old story. It doesn't work. It got us where we are right now. And so we're going to have the opportunity to descend in that well together, to feel those waters together, and to allow that to really remake us on many levels.
I'm so glad you framed it like that, Carolyn. You know, there are a lot of sort of colloquialisms or words that we use to describe grief and spiritual growth, et cetera. But now we're, you know, we're actually living it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's, yeah, it's like right here. And so that's why it's like this opportune time for us to, you know, bring those ideas, you know, that we've been speaking of for years into our hearts and into our embodied experience. One of the things that I feel is really important is to have a structure, to have, I like to think of it like a field guide or structure that we can, when we have experiences of growth or transformation, be it in grief or in some other aspect of our lives, how does it fit into our everyday lives? And so what we're going to be offering in the 7-week course is that kind of structure. We call it the journey, which is a, you know, like a broad view of life experience. So when you have a particular encounter that feels transformative, you'll be able to stand back and say, well, how does that fit? How does that fit in the flow of my life? and then be able to carry that structure as a person who wants to hold the space for others. That's really important for me.
Let's say a little bit more about what it means. What do we mean by holding space for wholeness in the world? You go first, please.
Well, you know, actually, one of my favorite teachers, of course, I didn't know him personally, but Abraham Joshua Heschel, the Jewish mystic of the last century, he wrote a time-honored book called The Sabbath. And I did my doctoral dissertation on the theme of Sabbath and studied Abraham Heschel. One of my favorite things that he said is that in the tempestuous ocean of time and toil, there are islands of stillness where when we enter their harbors, we reclaim our dignity. Mm. Let me just say that again.
Yes.
In the tumultuous ocean of time and toil, like where we are now, there are islands of stillness where when we enter their harbors, we reclaim our dignity. Mm. And so I think of that kind of island of stillness, that place that is shaped by agreements, by intention, by vulnerability, mm-hmm. By connection. It creates a harbor,
yes,
a holding space where we know, not just intellectually, but experientially, that we are together and being held, and I can show up in my authenticity and my dignity as a human being. That's how I would describe it.
Well,
you're next.
Yeah, I am, because my goodness, it just totally resonates with my podcast, the name of this podcast, Islands of Sanity.
I know, yeah.
Islands of Sanity, safe harbors where we can, you know, just get apart for a while from the madness and be with each other and go deep together in this kind of safety and refuge that we just don't find in our culture very much. And that somehow makes a difference, you know, that yeah. gives each of us permission to feel the grief, and you know, it allows us then to go out in the world in ways that call us and make a difference, you know? Yeah. And sometimes we think making a difference has to be big and flashy and dramatic. Mm. You know, it can be going shopping for the senior next door who can't get to the grocery store. It can be as silly as going to the animal shelter and reading to the animals or adopting an animal. It can be bringing food to the healthcare workers. You know, one of the things that's so beautiful is these healthcare workers are getting all kinds of gifts. People are sending them all kinds of, I don't mean material stuff, but meaningful things, you know. Sewing masks and creating other things that you know, and donating for the personal protective equipment and so on. Making a difference can be very small or it can be very big. But right now we are creating something for the generations forthcoming, regardless of if they're healthcare workers or who they are. You know, it's amazing to see the creativity that's coming out of people at this time.
I just want to
go ahead.
Yeah, just to kind of, again, I think we're so aligned in this, Carolyn, but just to kind of put an exclamation point after what you said. So I believe you're with me on this. I'm less interested in kind of just self-actualization.
Yeah.
We're doing this work so I can feel better about myself. Of course, that's good. You know, we all need to feel better about ourselves.
Right.
You know?
Right.
There's enough crap coming at us that it's good to feel better about ourselves. But the whole idea is that this growth, this transformation, touching into our own grief, will propel us into our context, into our world with some gift, some balm. And it can be all those things you said, or it can be simply just listening, just giving someone the gift of listening, really listening.
Yeah,
you know. And so, just to say that this work is intended to have that kind of force about it, Mm-hmm. That when we touch into that path of descent and the well at the bottom of that path, which is that water of transformation, it will take us, it will carry us into the world with something that shimmers, some gift, some balm, some insight, some wisdom. And as you said, it could be a tiny thing or it could be a huge thing.
Right.
But it always makes a difference.
Yeah. Well, let's just take, I want to ask you this last question here and just take a few minutes to talk about, besides the examples that you just gave, what are some basic benefits of doing grief work? You and I have been doing this work with folks for a long time, and we've noticed many profound changes in people and in ourselves as we and they have done this work. What kind of benefits do you see? And I'll let you comment and then I will follow.
Sure. Well, this could be another podcast for sure.
But good,
I think the heart of it for me and for this work, Carolyn, and perhaps not just with grief, but really just broadly speaking, any sort of transformation has the potential to move us from reactivity, which in most cases makes matters worse. Mm-hmm. You know, there's time to react for sure, you know, if we're in true danger,
right?
And you know, but most of the time we react from that limbic system, that the least evolved part of our brain, and we react almost unconsciously. Mm-hmm. And so when we surface these feelings and these emotions that are underneath in our lives, we exercise our capacity to respond from a place of curiosity, mm-hmm. of compassion, and courage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's what the world needs. And, of course, when we do that, we find our own healing and wholeness. Yeah. And then are able to offer that, as I said, you know, in the world. So it's kind of a broad answer, but it's kind of sums it up for me.
No, that's fine. That's beautiful. I keep coming back to one of the things that I've experienced and I noticed so many people experience as a result of doing grief work is a greater capacity to feel joy.
Mm.
You know, there's so much in our culture that's numbing. And when we're in trauma and overload and high stress as we are now and crisis, you know, and let me name the crises. How many are there? You know, so many. And when we're in that place of pressure and stress and trauma, we tend to get numb just as a survival mechanism. Yeah. And so, you know, in a culture that's in that state a lot, you know, our feelings, our emotions are not as accessible to us. Mm-hmm. And one of the emotions that's just really we're cut off from in this culture is joy. Yeah, we have a lot of happiness. We know how to party. You know, we're focused a lot on happiness. Well, you know, do what makes you happy. And yet the capacity to feel joy, to have that sense of stillness and well-being and connectedness with life and with the earth, with each other, with ourselves, is very difficult for us. And so, you know, Blake said hundreds of years ago, the deeper the sorrow, the greater the joy. And we experience that as we experience grief, because grief and joy travel together. They're like two sides of the same coin. So I love it in the years that I've been doing grief work when I see people really allowing themselves to grieve and then saying later, wow, I feel so much lighter. I just really have much more joy in my life.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I know. Yeah. I think the most powerful experience I ever had of that is one time when I was visiting the Batwa people in Burundi. Mm-hmm. These are the Pygmy tribe in Burundi. And these are the most marginalized of the marginalized of the marginalized in East Africa. And so we went up to meet in their village. And they greeted us with this dance. And the dance was basically you can see how high you can jump. And they're little people.
Yeah.
And So I just stepped right in and I'm jumping up and down with them and everything. And it was just like, I don't know if I ever felt so joyful. Now, I don't want to romanticize the marginalization or the suffering, but there was just like a joyful protest of the soul to protest the marginalization. And it was pure, unadulterated joy. And it's kind of an extreme example of that, but we all have the capacity to touch into that when we're not numbed out and distracted by all the things. You know, when I came home from that, I just felt the weight of all my stuff, you know, all the things that I numb out with, you know, and really kind of just keep me from that joy. So,
Well, I am so looking forward to doing this work with you, Terry. And let's tell people the name of the website where they can go and learn much more about this work and register.
Great. Yeah. The website is alliesonthejourney.com, alliesonthejourney.com. And if you go there, you'll see it right on the homepage. And you can just follow that link to the offerings. And this is one of the programs that we're offering together. And it's easy to register. And we want everyone to know that we are adopting the model. We've been inspired by the work of Charles Eisenstein, and we're adopting his model of the gift economy. And so we're giving people the option to choose after some, you know, considered discernment, what they feel is appropriate for them to pay for this course. And we're just trusting that. We're trusting the universe and the abundance that is out there in the world.
So that is alliesonthejourney.com. And then you're going to find on that page the description and lots of material about the workshop. A couple of videos, one by Terry, one by me. And I think you're going to be very, very intrigued, energized, curious. I just really hope you join us. Come to alliesinthejourney.com and click on this wonderful workshop. And we hope to see you there on Monday night, May 4th. This will be a series of 7 Monday nights for 90 minutes each. And I'm so looking forward to doing this work with the folks that have already registered and with you, Terry. And thank you for being with us today here on Islands of Sanity. Stay safe and stay well.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.